Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Envision Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to talk about the surprising accessibility issues of mailing lists. Recently, I've been looking into starting a mailing list for multiple reasons. Number one, just for product updates and for things like our new components library, like new product announcements, etc., etc. And like any other kind of announcements, probably once a week or so, which I thought could be really cool, really useful, and I was very excited to get started on it. Now, the kind of unexpected issue here was the accessibility issues along the way, and it was with pretty much every single aspect, and kind of finding a truly accessible mailing list provider and creating accessible emails and sign-up forms is honestly a lot more challenging than it should be and a lot more difficult than you would probably initially think. So this episode is going to kind of explore my personal experience with this, backed up by obviously some of the actual options that I tried. And we're going to kind of hopefully help people who have mailing lists think, okay, is this actually accessible? Because I can almost guarantee that it isn't after looking into a lot of different options. And kind of see what we can learn from this whole experience. As I mentioned, I wanted to set up a mailing list to have a direct way to communicate with people, because although social media is good, it's obviously not the same as sending somebody some form of direct communication. So I really wanted to set one up. I know I'm signed up to a few that I find quite useful and interesting. So like I personally know that they're definitely good for people who are interested in them. It would be good, obviously, for sharing like anything more so exclusive that maybe doesn't belong on social media, and also obviously for community building as well. So I actually did a lot of research on mailing list providers. And obviously there's a lot of them. There's some very big ones, some very small ones. So I spent quite a while just researching options in the first place. So, you know, a lot of the features that kind of attracted me to these platforms was ease of use, like different integrations, and obviously pricing. You would honestly be very surprised at how expensive mailing lists cost. Now, you can definitely get cheaper options, but some of them cost hundreds of euros a month once you reach like certain subscriber amounts, which is a bit crazy to me. So then the problem kind of arose when I don't want to say started considering accessibility, because obviously I was considering it because I had to do all this research with the screen reader, but when I would actually go and like look at some of the example emails maybe that you could send, or look at the like sign up forms and stuff that they would let you use, or the pop-ups. So that's kind of when I ran into my first big issue, because it turns out a lot of these websites, number one, making emails is impossible, and number two, their sign up forms are not accessible at all, and even if they're actually usable, they're very badly built. You know, they haven't labeled their inputs, they haven't labeled their buttons. If it's a pop-up, for example, it doesn't actually use the dialogue like HTML element, so it doesn't bring users focus to the dialogue. There's no easy way to close it, etc. It's a whole mess. So just to kind of give you more of a specific idea as well as to some of the accessibility issues, as I kind of mentioned, keyboard navigation, impossible. All text or images on some platforms anyway, you just can't even add it, which is ridiculous. Like, it's not very hard to implement that feature, to be honest. It's literally just a text box to type in. Difficult to concern color contrast, so where like the background and the text would have poor contrast. Confusing or non-semantic HTML structure, which is honestly a really big issue, because they would just use the wrong HTML elements for things, or just use them improperly as well. Inability to adjust font sizes or styles as well, especially on more of like the templated ones where they would maybe have font sizes and styles already chosen, and maybe the actual font itself wouldn't be very readable, or the actual font size obviously is way too small. As I always mention, there are a lot of people in the world with disabilities. I think 1 in 4 people, for example, in the US, are supposed to have a disability, which is a huge amount of people. And as I've mentioned before, there are so many accessibility issues on almost every single website. And you have to remember, this essentially has those same issues, because emails, in reality, a lot of the time, are just HTML, or the sign-up forms they use are just HTML. So, actually, a lot of the issues that we've spoken about websites and apps and things like that, they have a lot of overlap here when it comes to emails, which is obviously not good because of how frequently you'll come across accessibility issues on a website. It is not good if that's the same thing for an email. Like, I am forever not able to read an email correctly because it's just made of images, or they've just, like, put a million blank lines there for whatever reason. They haven't made their links correctly, or they have a button there, but it just has an icon, so it just says image, link, or button, you know, depending on how they've made it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same issues. Like, there's a lot of overlap here. But again, it's honestly not very difficult stuff, especially if you're making a platform that's supposed to provide this as a service. Honestly, I feel like you should be doing a bit better. So now we kind of come on to my sort of process of searching for accessible mailing list providers, which is not a thing as far as I can tell, by the way. So essentially, it became a process of elimination as to, does this one seem like it actually might be somewhat accessible? No? Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is obviously not particularly fun. It's quite time consuming, and it means actually you might actually have to pay more. Number one, to just use an email provider, well, an email list provider, as you know, somebody who uses a screen reader. And also, if you want people with screen readers or, you know, any other kind of assistive technology or disability to be able to actually sign up, which is obviously a bit ridiculous. You shouldn't honestly have to pay more for that functionality. There's also a little bit of misleading marketing, because some of them will claim to be accessible or easy to use, intuitive, or, you know, usable by everyone or whatever, and then they're just not, which is obviously not good. And also, a lot of them just have lack of information when it comes to accessibility. There were one or two that mentioned accessibility, if you looked for it, but a lot of them didn't really mention it anywhere, which is a little bit odd, because, for example, website building tools, sometimes you will see them mention, oh yeah, you know, whatever, you know, standards, whatever they're following to ensure kind of meeting accessibility guidelines. But with email list providers, actually doesn't seem to be a thing at all, which is kind of crazy to me, because it's such a big thing even legally now. It's actually becoming more of like a legal requirement, but it seems like this is, unlike the kind of website side of the software industry, this is not something that has really been focused on in the email list kind of side. Like, a lot of things that were supposedly accessible and very easy to use, like sign up forms and pop-ups that I said, actually weren't accessible at all. I said earlier, either a dialogue would show up on your screen, but as a screen reader user, it would appear on your screen and you wouldn't even know, you know, and it wouldn't announce it, it wouldn't move you to it. So as far as you were concerned, it wasn't there. And even if it did bring you to it, you know, the like inputs were unlabeled, the buttons were unlabeled, any images were unlabeled, etc. You know, so honestly, pretty huge issues. That's not just slightly inconvenient or, you know, whatever. That's you can't really use it type of stuff. Now, with some of these tools, you could kind of work around these issues. So, for example, with writing an email, you might be able to add in your image and then actually manually edit the HTML yourself to add alt text, which is, I mean, not how you're meant to do it, to be honest, like on these tools. And also, it means it requires a lot more time and effort, especially for, you know, if you're a small creator or for a business. You know, I don't want to have to spend ages, you know, using their like email builder to make an email. And then actually I have to go and manually edit the HTML to add in alt text or ARIA labels or whatever else is necessary that honestly shouldn't really be something that you have to do, especially for a service that you're going to be possibly paying for. So have, you know, a kind of interesting question here is, have you ever assumed that a tool or platform was accessible only to find out later that it wasn't? Were there any consequences of that assumption? So I actually see this all the time, even on LinkedIn, for example. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me actually that LinkedIn supposedly used to automatically add alt text to their images through their API, I think. I don't remember exactly how it worked because I didn't use LinkedIn at that point, I don't think. But it turns out that LinkedIn actually stopped doing this a while ago. So I had messaged them saying, oh, by the way, you know, you should add alt text to your images for these reasons, whatever, you know. And they were like, oh, they already thought they were because they thought that LinkedIn was automatically doing it. But it turns out actually that LinkedIn, I said, had stopped. So actually for quite a while, their images didn't have any alt text, even though they were obviously under the assumption that they did. So even that, you know, the functionality that you're kind of promised, if you will, can be changed literally without notice. They won't even tell you, and you're obviously not going to know. And, you know, that's on a platform where you've actually checked to make sure that they are doing it right, and then they change it, and now they're doing it wrong. So even with that, you know, it's crazy kind of how difficult it can be to find a solution that is accessible. And then even if you do, it does not guarantee that it will stay accessible at all. So just to give you an idea of how you actually make an email accessible. So, for example, use semantic HTML tags like header, nav, main, footer, article, etc. So what those do is they kind of let you mark out the different sections of your email. So the header obviously is the kind of top part of the email where you might have your logo, your slogan, whatever. Kind of the, I don't want to say same thing you'll have in each email, but essentially, you know, the top part where it's not necessarily the content of the email just yet. Then you might have a nav section if you have quite a few links that go to different places, but a lot of emails don't honestly have that. After that, you'll have the main, which then contains the actual main body of your email. So if it's like a promotion, for example, you might have information about the promotion, how to apply the promotion, and maybe, you know, a few links or some buttons in there as well, and maybe some images showing how to apply the promotion. Then you might have an article. So let's say you are a news agency and you're sending out kind of a daily email right to your subscribers, you might have a few articles in there. So the article element, it would have, let's say, an image, and then it would have like some kind of title text, which you'd probably use a heading for, and then a small little description, and then a link to the article. But that would be all wrapped inside of an article element, which would tell the screen reader, hey, this group here, it's all related, and it's all an article. Then you might have a footer, for example, which that's the footer of the email generally at the bottom. And that might have things like terms and conditions, you know, privacy policy, unsubscribe links, anything like that might go down there. And that's kind of how you format the content of an email, which, again, that's not very hard. You know, that's not anything crazy or too complicated. That's all basic HTML. So that's why I'm always saying, like, if people aren't doing, you know, accessibility properly in reality, they're not doing things properly at all. Because that's not very difficult. That's not a big ask. That's just asking people to use the HTML elements that they're supposed to use where they're supposed to use them. So that's just kind of the layout of the email. And the reason why you want to do that is that lets screen reader users know where they are in the email. And they can also jump between those different articles or sections as well. So as I mentioned earlier, alt text or images, which if you're not familiar, essentially just explains the content of an image to a screen reader user. It does have more uses than that. For example, it also improves your SEO of whatever you're writing, which is not as applicable to emails, but still very important to have. Obviously, color contrast. So what that does is it will let people who are maybe colorblind or who do have some kind of visual impairment, or even people who don't have any of those, just see your text better, which is never a bad thing. The more legible your text is, the easier it is to read, the more likely people are to read it. Because that's also the thing. It's great if your email looks really, really good. But if after, you know, a little bit of time, you're kind of feeling tired from reading it because you kind of are giving yourself some eye strain, you're not going to read the rest at all. So it doesn't really matter how nice it looks. Font choices and sizes. Also, using readable fonts, it's great if you want to use a lovely cursive font for your whole email. But in reality, that's not very good. It's not nearly as readable. It's not as nice to read. And it doesn't mean you can't ever use, you know, nicer looking fonts like that. It just means it probably shouldn't be your whole email. And you should probably be a bit selective about which ones you do use and make sure that they're still obviously readable. Obviously, same thing with font sizes. Generally, you do want to allow people to resize fonts, which sometimes will work if they've done it in their device settings, for example, on their laptop, phone, computer, whatever they're using. Sometimes the emails will automatically adapt depending on how they're accessing them. But it is always good to allow people the option to do that if you can. Obviously, link text as well. So instead of just having a link that says, you know, click here, you know, it should say something a bit more specific. So for example, in the case that it's a promotion, it might say, you know, apply the discount code. Or it might say, like, view our offers, you know, instead of just saying click here. Because, yeah, click here, it can make sense if you read the text beforehand that says, oh, yeah, our promotion gives you, you know, 20% off. Make sure you apply it in the basket. And then the link just says, click here. It's like, okay, that makes contextual sense. But if you're navigating around with a screen reader, for example, you can go link by link, or you can navigate by, like, the clickable elements. So if you're navigating by the clickable elements, maybe there'd be a link at the top that says, like, view our website, you know, view this in your browser, and then you press tab again, which is what you use to navigate by like the interactive elements, and it just now says click here. It's like, okay, click here for what? But if that said, you know, apply our promotion now or whatever, you know, they'd know what that is and they could just click it if they wanted to apply the promotion. Obviously, keyboard navigation. So that's exactly what I was talking about there a second ago, making sure that if you are going to be doing things like that, make sure you're using the right HTML elements and that people can access the things that they're going to need to. I am forever finding clickable things on websites and emails that say clickable, but they're not actually clickable with a screen reader because they've built them to just listen for mouse clicks and not any keyboard interactions, which is very frustrating because it means sometimes I actually can't sign up for something, or you know, I can't unsubscribe from an email list or whatever it might be. Actually, it's very frustrating when you know that that's what you're supposed to click, but you just can't. You actually have to try and use the mouse yourself, which is very difficult, or get somebody else to do it for you. Obviously, clear and concise language, avoiding jargon and complex sentence structures. Again, that's just good for everybody. I don't know about you, but I hate very wordy emails, and it's not about them being long. I will happily sit here all day and read a like longer email that I'm interested in, or you know, a newsletter or whatever it is, but I hate it when they just make it longer to make it longer, or they're using specifically complex language for literally no reason. Some mail list editors, however, do make it difficult to implement these best practices because the templates they use don't actually use the HTML property in the first place, so there's nothing really you can do. And the thing is, you won't really know that unless you know about HTML yourself, you know, and programming, or if you're a screen reader user. If you're just somebody making an email, you're just going to see, okay, this looks correct, and you're going to send it. But it turns out the email editor you're using is actually making very inaccessible emails. So obviously the solution here is to have more intuitive and built-in accessibility features in these platforms. And the thing is, like I said, it's not even anything crazy that you need to implement. It's just basic, you know, HTML. Like, it is. You know, it's honestly easier to make an email accessible than making a website accessible. You're not going to have any pop-ups in your email or, you know, anything too complicated. But it's as simple as if people are adding a table to their email, letting the like row of headers actually be created correctly with HTML so that it's in a table head, and each, you know, column in that kind of row is a TH element. Like, that way it's read properly for screen readers. And again, that's not honestly any extra effort in reality. That's, again, just basic, you know, but really basic stuff. So if you're not doing that in your platform, then it just makes me question, you know, the rest of your platform. How good can it really be? So my search has kind of concluded. I'm trying out Mail Lite, which I'm unsure exactly how that's going to go. It does seem to be a little bit more promising than some of the other solutions, but I don't know. I haven't integrated the sign-up forms into my website yet, but they do, as far as I've seen from their different templates and stuff like that, seem to be at least a bit more accessible. So hopefully that works out, but I'm still not sure. So that goes to show, even after, you know, a week or so looking into these kind of different platforms and stuff, I'm still not sure if that one will work. I hope it will. And thankfully their pricing isn't too high. It's actually thankfully less than some of the other like big providers, which is great for me. And honestly, mail list providers really just need to prioritize accessibility in their development. And there's no reason not to. Like I said, you're just missing out on email list subscribers, which is the whole reason you're signing up in the first place, is to get email list subscribers and send emails to them. So missing out on, you know, a possible, it would technically be 33% more subscribers, is a really big deal. So honestly, I don't know why they aren't prioritizing that, because all it will do is make their customers happier. You know, if you just email them tomorrow and said, oh, we've just made a way for you to get 33% more subscribers, I'm sure every single one of them would be delighted and very happy about it. So, you know, that's the thing. They're missing out on a lot of possible email list subscribers, and possibly, you know, happier customers. So there's obviously a lot of organizations and things that advocate for this already, such as W3C and the WCAG guidelines. If you haven't checked those out before, make sure you do. They just kind of give you an idea of how to make things accessible. And even for color contrast, it will tell you how different the colors need to be. And there are a lot of tools out there that can help you check for that color contrast. For example, WebAIM is a useful website where you can just put in the URL to your website and it will tell you what kind of issues you have, which is obviously very useful. If you are currently using an email list tool, I encourage you to either, you know, send somebody who uses a screen reader one of your emails, or try and get them to use your signup form, and or try and use the screen reader yourself if you're interested in trying one out, and do it yourself. That way you can know for the future, okay, this works, this doesn't work, etc. And you know, you can then say, okay, this platform is accessible, this platform isn't accessible, which is obviously really, really helpful. Obviously, some potential features that they could implement is built-in accessibility checkers, which is not very hard, to be honest. Accessible templates and guidance on these things, along with, you know, built-in support for things like alt text and proper table headings, having proper structure in the actual emails, whether it be using, you know, a header, main, and footer. Again, all relatively simple things for them to implement that could honestly make the experience better for everybody. So in summary here, essentially, it can be quite hard to find accessible email list solutions. If you have found any, please do let me know. And just a few questions before we go here. So, okay, have you faced any similar challenges in finding accessible online tools? It doesn't even have to be mailing lists. Please do let me know, because I'm quite interested to see if this is an experience people find in any other industries or sectors, if you will. What are your experiences with email accessibility, either as a creator or a recipient? What features would you like to see in mailing list platforms to make them more accessible, whether it be from actually the sign-up forms to the emails, or even having an accessibility checker if you are somebody who creates emails, that will tell you, you know, you got a 96% accessibility rating on your email, for example. So you kind of know, okay, this is pretty good. There's one or two things I can maybe improve. You know, or obviously with saying, oh, you have a 5% accessibility rating, you know, there's some pretty major issues. So at least then you can attempt to address some of them. So please feel free to share your thoughts in the comments or on social media. Also feel free to email me, paul.gagan@envisionly.tech, or just contact@envisionly.tech. You can find all our contact information on our website, so please feel free to reach out there if you wish. So that is going to be it for this episode of the Envision Tech Podcast. As always, I've been your host, Paul Gagan. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next week.